Well, good morning. It's good to see those that are here this morning. We will go ahead and get started with our call to worship. So if you'll please stand, we will sing Revive Us Again.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Alleluia, Thine the glory. Alleluia, Amen. Alleluia, Thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of light, who hath shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Alleluia, Thine the glory. Alleluia, Amen. Alleluia, Thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, cleansed every stain. Alleluia, Thine the glory. Alleluia, Amen. Alleluia, Thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love. May each soul be from above. Alleluia, Thine the glory. Alleluia, Amen. Alleluia, Thine the glory. Revive us again.
And you may be seated.
Well, good morning, church family. It is so wonderful to be in the house of God, worshiping our Lord with my favorite church family. I love you guys so much. I have a few announcements. First, we are in the season of Annie Armstrong, and it is the week of prayer for North American missions. This flyer is out on the table out there. If you would like to grab one on your way out, and pray each day this week for our missionaries. And then there's an offering envelope as well out there for the Easter offering. Do we have a goal? 17,000? Okay. Our goal for Annie Armstrong is 17,000. And God has blessed us. Each time a goal is set, He shows that our goals are not as lofty as what His are. And so He always provides and shows out for us, and for that we are thankful. Also, April 4th is Easter Sunday. We will have a sunrise service at 6:30 in the morning. We ask that you join us for that. Wonderful time of a sweet time of singing and a message, and so we ask that you be here, and it is at 6:30, and I think that is all the announcements that I have. No? This Saturday? This Saturday we will have a work day at 8 a.m., and there's all types of things that we're going to put you to work doing, so show up at 8 o'clock and be ready to work. You might want to bring some gloves and boots. I'm not sure what all we'll be doing, but we ask that you show up and help around our wonderful campus as we clean up and do some things around the campus. Lunch will be provided. I think we'll have hot dogs and, no, T-bones and baked potato. Don't quote me on that. All right. It is good to see everyone here. We want to welcome each other. We want to welcome our visitors especially. We're glad that you chose Hillcrest Baptist Church this morning. We want to welcome you by standing up and singing, and as we do, we're going to wave to you.
consequent, I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joy dance with Jesus as we travel this heart. For I'm part of the family of God.
And you may be seated as we continue on with Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever. Delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever.
I had actually missed one. So if you would please stand, we'll move back to Rescue the Perishing.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep for the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are slighting Him, still He is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, crushing duty demanded. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
And you may be seated.
Thank you.
I was going to sit and just wait till he got finished. Don't you enjoy hearing the piano and organ playing when they play? And what a blessing it is to have talent like we have in church. We're going to pray in just a second, but just a few moments ago, I realized the difference between young and... Yeah. And older. I was talking to one of our younger ones, and she said, "I'm going for my second." And I said, "I am too." She was talking about a job interview. I was talking about the vaccination. Oh, to be young again. I am looking forward to the Easter sunrise service. I hope you are. You know, last year was such a hard thing to, we do something, then we have to not do it, and do something, then not do it. And we're still in that boat. We're still not normal, but we're getting there. Sunday school has started back, and that's looking good. And Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, we're going to start the week after Easter, Sunday after Easter, and we'll have PM service, and then that Wednesday we'll have try to have normal Wednesday night activities with the kids and the youth, and adults will still have prayer meeting, and just looking forward to get back. As we get back to normal, realize that we still need to be cautious. We still have people getting sick in our church. Jane Walker has been diagnosed with a lung infection, and she was tested for COVID again. She may have it. She doesn't know whether she does or not. She tested negative, but she felt like she may have had it. So praying for her. Norma Sharp has been diagnosed with a lung problem, and her throat is still not right. Don Mann has quit his radiation. He just couldn't do it anymore. His inside of his mouth was bleeding, and he couldn't eat, and he's just miserable. So he just had to quit. Then we have loved ones that have gotten sick throughout the world. And then we did Tamara's funeral yesterday, so continue praying for that family. And but God's here. God has taken care of every single thing that needs to be taken care of. And He's such a wonderful God, a marvelous God, an awesome God. So let's pray to Him, and let's remind ourselves how great God is. Let's pray. Almighty, You are great. You're the only God there is. There is no other. And we worship You, the one true living God. And Father, when somebody asks us how we know You're living, You live through us, and we experience You, and You speak to us through the Word, and sometimes through dreams and other ways, Father. And as we look outside, we see the creation of this world, and You speak through the creation. Father, when You want something done, You get it accomplished. Lord, if You want to stop something, You put a stop to it. Only God could do that. Only God could take care of this world. And Father, we'll be celebrating Easter, and we're reminded that we're not the only ones on this earth. You love every single person, Father, throughout this world. And we know that there are a huge amount of people that have never heard the message of Jesus Christ. And Lord, they deserve to hear it. And You use us to share it. So, Father, as we think about Easter and all the activities that we celebrate Easter with, I pray, Lord, that we'd remember foreign countries. And some of them we would consider enemies of the United States, but they still are people that need to hear about the Lord Jesus. I think about North Korea and how closed that country is to the gospel. Yet there are believers there, but they're not allowed to worship. They're not allowed to worship in public. And Father, a lot of them, probably most of them, are not saved. But they know. They don't know any better. They've not heard who you are and what you're all about. And Father, I pray you break our hearts to tell whoever would listen. Today, Father, as we open up your word, I pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts about soul winning and missionaries and supporting them. I pray for our Annie Armstrong offering, Lord, that you would help us to reach our goal plus more. I pray for our church, Father, as we look forward to the future. Real soon, Lord, I know they'll start working again on the Family Life Center and start pouring the foundation. And we look forward to that, Father. I pray that you'd send an excitement to our church. Father, help us to start dreaming and seeking you about how we can use the Family Life Center to reach others for Christ, how we can use it to reach each other and rekindle fellowship within the church. I pray, Lord, that we'd all be praying about our commitment and surrenderedness to pay for it and to use it. Father, as we celebrate Easter this week through Week of Prayer, I pray that you would help us each day to use these prayer guides and to pray for our missionaries here at home. And Lord, I do pray for them. I lift them up to you, asking, Lord, that you would encourage them, love them, provide for them, use your churches, Father, to raise money to support them. And Father, I pray for our church, that we would have opportunities to support people that share the gospel with whoever would listen. Father, I do pray for those that are sick. I lift them up to you, asking you would provide health. I pray for those that are searching for jobs, Lord, that you would provide the perfect job. I pray for our homes, our families. Lord, if there's problems within our homes, I pray, Lord, that they would focus their hearts and eyes on you, and through that, Lord, you would heal our hurting marriages. God, we love you and praise you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I've asked Leah Walker to come talk to us. She is working in Bowling Green at Western Kentucky on campus. She does she ministers to the students on campus. And she's coming. She may ask you, she may not, but she has to provide her own support. So I've asked her to come speak to you for a few minutes and just give you an idea of what she's doing and what she's about. And we have money built in the budget that we used to send to another church, and I'll recommend to you guys at a business meeting what we should do. But Leah, you come on up, and I told her she had 5 to 7 minutes, so somebody put the watch on her.
Hi, everyone. It's so very good to see all of you. I remember some of you from my childhood because I spent a lot of time here as a kid from the time I was, I don't even know, before I can remember up until my parents decided to move to another church to help reach more of the Clarksville community. But I have a lot of memories here, like a lot of memories here. I remember when the fellowship hall was orange. I don't know if anyone else remembers that. And I glanced in there today and it wasn't orange anymore, and I was like, oh, clearly I haven't been here in a while. But this place really shaped who I am today, and I am so grateful that God has put me on this path so I can stand in front of you today and tell you that what you all did for me growing up really impacted, like, what God is doing in my life now and what God is doing in the lives of students at Western Kentucky University. So even after I left here, I came back for youth group because, like, I just missed you all so much. But when I got to college, I didn't really know who I was because I had always gone to church with my family. I didn't know what I believed. And I found the place called Christian Student Fellowship. It's a campus ministry at Western. And the people there, the community there, they led me to develop, like, what I believe for myself. And now I work there, and I get to do that for other students. I get to help them and walk alongside them. Christian Student Fellowship, also known as CSF, so I'll call it CSF from now on. But CSF does discipleship, community groups, Bible studies, weekly worship services, service opportunities, and lots of free food, every college student's favorite words. And we reach about 100 to 250 students every week at Western Kentucky University. And in order for me to work there, in order for CSF to be a place that can offer free services just to minister to college students, the staff and also CSF as an organization has to raise funds for themselves. And so I would just humbly ask that you consider prayerfully whether the church and maybe you yourselves want to give to me or just the organization. And if that is something that you're interested in, I would love to talk to you more. I can give you my cell phone number. I can give you my email, whatever you want. And I can come and get coffee with you. I do live in Bowling Green, so it'll be quite a trek for me, but I'll do it just for you. And I am so blessed by what God has done in my life. I've grown so much, and I'm excited to watch students continue to grow into like who they are and into their faith themselves, apart from their parents, because that does happen, turns out. Thank you so much for letting me come and letting me share who I am again with you and what I've been doing, and I just ask that you pray for me, and I will pray for you, of course. Thank you so much.
Leah didn't share with you what I asked her. How much does she need each year to live on? And her goal is to raise $18,000. And I'm thinking, how in the world can you live on $18,000? But she does, but she's about $4,000 short. So anyways, you pray about her and the ministry that she affords us to take part with. And I'll get her to give Ginger your address and phone number and all that stuff. And if you want to do it as an individual, you can contact her. But anyways, she's just a good, I'm going to say girl. She's got a good heart for the Lord. And today's message is about what a soul winner looks like. That's the title of the sermon, and that's what a soul winner looks like. You know, praise the Lord for our students, our young adults that are growing in the Lord and doing what we've taught them. So, let's read Romans chapter 15. A couple verses together. Romans 15, verses 14 through 21. Romans chapter 15, and I'll start in verse 14. This is Paul speaking. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God, for I will not dare to speak of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. In mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I am fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ is named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. Just a couple verses in there that's really zeroed into my heart. But we're going to talk about what a soul winner looks like in just a few moments, what a missionary looks like. But I want to remind you, this Wednesday night at prayer meeting, we'll spend the whole time praying for home missions, for our missionaries. The whole week is what we call week of prayer for home missions. And after much prayer, especially praying through these prayer guides all week, these little things right here, it would be my prayer that you would pray about the amount that God would want you to give towards the Annie Armstrong goal. Our goal is $17,000. Each week, we spend a week of prayer on one Wednesday night using the prayer guide. And we go through the videos. And they're about 2 minutes long, and there's seven videos. So we'll, this Wednesday, we'll show seven little short videos. But what that does, that gives you a taste of the culture that these people are ministering to. We see the people, the missionaries, and their wives and their families. And they tell us what they're up to. And they help us with our prayers because we put a face with our prayers. And sometimes those little videos, they tend to break your heart. They make you realize that we're safe and comfortable here at church today, but somebody's out yonder doing the work of God that's maybe not a safe place. It's dangerous, yet they're doing what God has called them to do. It's just good to watch these videos. It helps you pray for them in a very specific way. Last year, North American Mission Board had over 3,000 home missionaries, full-time home missionaries. Our Annie Armstrong offering goes towards helping pay their salaries. It does not pay for the office work. It does not pay for things here. It pays to go towards the missionaries and what they need. As we look at this, we realize that they have a lot of needs. They have children, just like you and I do. Many of them do. They have grandchildren. And sometimes those children are doing without because they just can't afford the thing. So we have the opportunity to help them, to support them. So today we look at what a soul winner is, what a missionary is. What do they look like? Have you ever wondered that? What does an actual missionary look like? If we didn't bring them here, how would you know what a missionary looked like? If we didn't show those videos, if Leah hadn't come here, how in the world would we know what a missionary looks like? We know what a soul winner looks like. I hope we know what a soul winner looks like. And that's what a missionary is a soul winner. They go to places that don't have churches, and they start churches. We call that planting churches. A lot of our home missionaries go to places that, downtown, they call it revitalization, where they've gone to churches that have shut their doors because nobody wanted to go to that church. It was so dangerous. And they'll go inside those buildings and they'll start churches. They'll start knocking on doors where nobody else will knock on doors and invite them to church. And Leah, they feed them. That seems to be the key to get people to feed them, take care of their needs. We have some go to colleges. We have some go to nursing homes. We have some go to the Indian reservations. We go from Canada all the way down to South America and all in between, Mexico and the United States. We send people to do the work of Christ. And that's what Week of Prayer is. That's what a soul winner does. That's what a missionary does. And to be perfectly honest about it, that's what a church ought to be doing. And if we can't go, then we support and pay for somebody to go. That's what it boils down to. So that's what we're going to look at. What does a missionary do? What does a soul winner do? What are the characteristics? And Paul, he drills it in verse 14. So let's read that again. There's at least three things in here that what a soul winner, what a missionary looks like. So read it again with me. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish to one another. Three things at least. Paul starts out, they're full of goodness. What does a soul winner look like? What does a missionary look like? They're full of goodness. Now, isn't that odd? That's the first thing how he describes somebody. You'd think a Christian would be full of goodness anyways, wouldn't you? Are we? I'll leave that up to you. They're just filled with goodness. Otherwise, they wouldn't have listed it first. Kindness shows through their daily walk. They constantly do what is good and what produces godliness. They have a lifestyle that combines being good and doing good. As I wrote these characteristics down, my mind is just going all over the place. Hadn't we all ought to be good? Yes. I mean, you would think we would. Now, here's my question. Are we? Not always. You're right. It's a kind of a shame. Let's have a conversation, Steve. We're just not always good, are we? We don't think good all the time. A soul winner is somebody that's good all the time. I'm not talking about perfect. I'm talking about to have an attitude of goodness. Do you know who Dan Rather is? Anybody remember him? He does an interview now, and he interviews celebrities and people that's in the news, and I like to watch him to get to know what makes people click. And he was interviewing Carol Burnett. Anybody remember her? The older ones do. Probably the younger ones don't. But Carol Burnett was a nut. You know, we used to watch her being a nut on TV, and some of the skits that I liked, some of them I didn't much care. I didn't like Mama. I didn't like the bickering they had in their family, but Carol Burnett said that was her favorite shows, to do the Mama part. I don't know why, but that's what her favorite was. But through this whole interview, Dan Rather is a great interviewer, and he asked these pointed questions in such a way that it doesn't hurt your feelings. And after about 45 minutes of interviewing Carol Burnett, he said, now we've talked about all this other stuff. Now, tell me who Carol Burnett is, the real Carol Burnett. And she looked at him, her eyes got kind of big, and she said, I don't know. I've never thought about that. And then she turned it on Dan Rather. Who are you? He said, well, I've never been asked that. I don't know either. So they both kind of thought about it, and then he got back to her. You know, he's so good, he got right back on point and said, who are you, Carol Burnett? You know what her first reaction was, her first characteristic? I'm a good person. I try to do good things. I try to treat people nice. And you know, not all celebrities are nice, and they don't always treat people nice. She said, I try to do the right thing. And I was so proud of Carol Burnett. That's the first characteristic. I don't know if she saved or not, but I sure was glad that she's a good person. So what does a soul winner look like? Well, they have an attitude of goodness, according to Paul. They live and do good things. And then in verse 14, they not only are good, but they're filled with all knowledge. They have a heavenly learning. They know their Bible. Because they know their Bible, they develop a great desire to see people saved. They become like Christ. They're not only good, but they have Bible knowledge. They know what the Bible says, and they have a really good idea of what it is to be saved and not saved, heaven and hell. And because they study their Bible, they're like Christ. They desire that nobody ends up in hell for eternity. Amen. That should be our desire, that nobody ends up in hell. They point people constantly to Christ and what Jesus did for them on the cross. As I read verse 14, it broke my heart. And I thought about it and thought about it, that goodness part. And then knowing our Bible the way we ought to know our Bible, and growing closer to the Lord and being more like Christ in our minds because we know the Bible. And then the third thing, they admonish one another They exhort one another. They teach one another. They encourage one another. They counsel one another. What's a missionary look like? What's a soul winner look like? Goodness, Bible knowledge, and able to encourage each other, to build each other up, to counsel each other, tell them what the Bible says and how to apply that to their lives. I chose day two to show you just a one minute, 58 second video. This is how short they are. But Ryan and Tricia McCormick, I think, or McCormick, I'm not sure how you say their name. They give us a glimpse of what a soul winner looks like and the needs of a soul winner. So, Alex, go ahead and start that video.
Neighborhood, and that's part of what led me to plant the type of church that we've planted here at Gospel Hope. We wanted to plant a church in a very diverse area to say to our world that there's hope.
There is gospel hope through the work of Jesus
for a right relationship with God and a right relationship with one another, and we feel like the east side of Atlanta just beautifully represent that. As I was getting prepared to plant Gospel Hope Church, one of my deepest prayers was that the Lord would lead a brother to lead this plant with me. And I was praying for somebody that I would really identify with philosophically and theologically, and God in His grace answered that prayer way beyond my expectation by allowing me to meet Rod. Through a mutual friend, we got together and had coffee, and just as we began to get to know one another, we came to the conviction that we think we can do this better together than we can apart. We're on the same mission here. We're on the same team. And we've been able to reach a wide swath of people. And every Sunday, you have this beautiful picture of the diversity of God's kingdom.
Absolutely. And people who I think their idea of what it means to win has nothing to do with, is it my idea or is it his or her idea? But does this idea or does this initiative advance the kingdom?
People are black and white and brown and rich and poor and male and female and young and old, but fundamentally, we are all made in the image of God. We are sinners who need a Savior, and we all, if we trust in Jesus, are made brothers and sisters by the work of His blood. And it's one of the most deeply moving experiences of my life to be a part of a church that does display the reconciling hope of the gospel. Thank you so much for giving to the Annie Armstrong Easter Offering. Because of partners like you, we are able to plant churches in places that desperately need a gospel witness.
Well, a soul winner brings that soul to a good church. A soul winner brings all sorts of people to a good church. Are we that kind of church where you'd bring somebody here because of who we are, because of our teaching, because of the way we outreach and take care? We care about people at Hillcrest Baptist Church. We care about their eternal destination. I hope and pray that we all care for people that are lost. A soul winner points people to this church, this kind of church. So the question is, do you point people to this church? Rhonda and I team up on people sometimes when we go to Walmart or Kroger's, and she'll invite them to church and tell them we got a pretty good church, and I'll say something like, everybody but the preacher. She'll agree. No, she doesn't agree with that, but that's my opening to say, oh, by the way, I'm the preacher. We would like to invite you to church. It doesn't matter who we talk to. We would love for them to come to this church. We are a good church. We do care about people and where they're going to spend eternity. And that's what a soul winner does. That's what a missionary does. That's who we support. Keep on going and read Paul's message to churches as they support soul winners and missionaries in verses 15 and 16. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God. Now, this is Paul saying, by the grace given to me by God, and that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. First, notice there's a grace involved. That's Paul's calling to preach the gospel. That's Paul's calling to go out into the world and share the gospel. As a minister of Jesus Christ, this is a full-time calling. Paul is engaged in proclaiming the gospel to a specific people, according to these verses, to the Gentiles. Now go back to the old days, the Bible days, and remember, who was God's special people back then? The Jewish people. But Jesus changed that distinction. Now Jesus says, I want all people saved. Well, guess who that is? That's us. Without missionaries, you and I probably wouldn't be saved. Without soul winners, you and I would not be saved. He was called by the grace of God to go to a specific people. And as he had that specific call to go to specific places, this was almost like Jesus saying, Paul, pick up this cross and carry it daily. Does that sound familiar? Deny yourself, pick up your cross and carry it daily. The thing about this specific calling and this grace that God has called Paul with is, we don't all go. We don't all get that same calling, do we? But someone needs to tell others about Jesus, and if we can't go, we can share in that same grace that Paul has been called by. But our grace, our calling is not to go. What is it to do? It's to pay for those that can go. Does that make sense? Now, God's called us all to witness, don't hear me wrong, but how many of us are foreign missionaries in here? How many of us are home missionaries in here? We got one over here. How many more? Okay, got two. If God has called you to go, what are you to do? You go. Yes, you pick up and go. If God gives that grace a calling to you, you best go. But Lord, I can't afford it. Did God ask you to afford it? No, he said go. But what did he do to the churches? He called them together and say, you be generous in your giving. In fact, let's look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Specific calling to the churches, to individuals. Verses 1 through 7. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 7. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. You hear that word, grace of God, again? The grace of God called Paul into the ministry. Now God is talking to the churches. The grace of God is talking to us right here, the churches of Macedonia, but now he's talking to Hillcrest Baptist Church. That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. I wrote in my Bible, generosity. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing to give, sacrificially, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift of money and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun so, he would also complete this grace in you, in the church as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, speech, and knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace, the grace of giving, as well. So we see Paul been called by the grace of God to full-time ministry. The church has been called to give generously, to support. This grace, this calling to individuals that serve God, we help them at their specific calling and their specific place they go and the specific people they go to. We are generous givers. We're a generous giving church. As we give, now hear this, this excites me. As we give, we become part of Paul's calling. We become part of that missionary's calling. We become part of that full-time minister's calling. You can't go, maybe, but they can. So we do what God has called us to do. And when it's all said and done, when we look the Lord in the eye, he's not going to say, were you a missionary? He's going to say, did you do your part? And we'll be able to say, if we give, yes. I didn't go to Timbuktu. I didn't go to Atlanta, to the middle part of Atlanta, to the slums of Nashville. But every time we took up an offering for missionaries, I gave, Lord. And I gave a little bit more than I could afford. But you know what? I never missed it. You provided. Isn't it odd that we're taking up Annie Armstrong offering right now? At this very moment. I mean, I'm talking about this week, next week, the week after that. The next 4 weeks we'll be taking up Annie Armstrong offering. Isn't it odd that some of us are going to be getting a stimulus check in the mail in your bank account? You know, we've had several. That's income. I wonder if we're tithed on that. I would bring it up. Yeah. But God may. Is it 1,400? Some are going to get individuals and then families. If they have two or three kids, they're going to get more than that. And some of them are going to get about $3,500. 10% of that is about $350. I wouldn't bring that up. Yeah. Isn't it odd that God has timed this right when we are taking up Annie Armstrong? Isn't it odd that God has put Paul's specific calling together with the church's calling to give. And we're sending out missionaries throughout South America, which is a problem area for us, isn't it, as they come to the border. Mexico, many of them do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The United States is getting to be a lost nation. You go to Canada, and they'll laugh you out of Canada if you mention Jesus Christ. Isn't it odd that God has called us to do this? To take the gospel to people that have never heard about Jesus. Or maybe they've heard and they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, but first, the church of Macedonia gave themselves to the Lord. So that's where you start. You surrender your life. You surrender your heart. You surrender everything that you have to the Lord and lay it at His feet. God still calls men and women as soul winners and missionaries. God still calls churches to support those people that He's called full time. Our goal at church is $17,000. You know your preacher. I'm praying for much more than $17,000. I'm praying that we reach deep. We made a kind of like an agreement a couple years ago. Why don't we treat Annie Armstrong like we do Lottie Moon? Lottie Moon, we've always emphasized, let's give Annie Armstrong. Our goal started at 17,000 and Annie Armstrong was 5,000. What's the difference? They're both going to pay places to share the gospel. They need our support. I don't know if you know who Leighton Ford is. I know you know who Billy Graham is. Well, Leighton Ford is Billy Graham's brother-in-law. How'd you like to be a brother-in-law with somebody like Billy Graham? Leighton Ford was a preacher as well. Again, how'd you like to be a preacher? And everybody compares you to Billy Graham. But this is the story that he told, Leighton Ford told, about speaking before Billy Graham. Leighton writes, I was speaking at an open-air crusade in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Billy Graham was to speak the next night, and he had arrived early that day, and he came incognito and sat on the grass at the rear of the crowd because he was wearing a hat and dark glasses. No one recognized him, being Billy Graham. Directly in front of him sat an elderly gentleman who seemed to be listening intently to my presentation. When I invited people to come forward as an open sign of commitment, Billy decided to do a little personal evangelism. I can see this happening now. He tapped the man on the shoulder and asked, would you like to accept Christ? I'll be glad to walk down with you if you want to. No, I think I'll just wait till the big gun comes tomorrow night. Leighton writes, Billy and I have had several good chuckles over that. But he said, unfortunately, it underlines how, in the minds of many people, evangelism is the task of the big guns like Billy Graham. Well, let me tell you, there's no big guns. And there's no little guns. There's no big shots and no little shots. We all have a job to do. God calls some to do what Billy Graham did, some to do what we do. Within our churches and our giving to missions, there's no big shots. We support those that are going out, period. Doesn't matter what the world thinks of them. The world might think they're big shots, but God uses us too. God doesn't see big guns and little guns. He sees us, His people. So I'm going to close with a verse that you've heard before. And I want you to turn to it. You've heard it hundreds of times, but I want you to mark it in your Bible, whether you mark it here or somewhere else, but it's Acts 1:8. You've heard it. I'm just going to read it straight from the Bible so you know it's God's speaking. It's written in my Bible in red. This is Jesus Christ talking to us. The Bible says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. We call that the Great Commission. That is spoken to all people of Christ. But I'm standing up here telling you that we don't all go. But to be part of that Great Commission, if we don't go, we can pay, we can support, we can give. Again, turn your Bibles back to Matthew 28, and I want you to mentally make a note of this and maybe study it in your own time. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Again, this is Jesus speaking. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Do you see anywhere in these verses where it says, "Go therefore, big shots, make," or "Go therefore, big shots, but let those little shots do their own work"? We all are called to do this. And some do go, and some don't. And those that don't, support. That's what God calls us to do. I'm very grateful to be pastor of a church that gives. And I'm very grateful to you guys for allowing me to preach to you about giving and not getting mad at me. And if you do get mad at me, get over it. I am praying and praying and praying that God will raise up generous givers. Let's pray. Almighty Father, this is a message that you gave to me. I pray that you would take it and pierce our hearts with it. Encourage us, Father, as being doing the same job that a Billy Graham would do. We're part of his ministry. We're part of Paul's ministry. We're part of those full-time missionaries' ministries, Father. We're part of the ministry of the grace of God. What a privilege it is, Father, to support the Great Commission, telling others about Jesus. We know, Lord, one day we'll all give an account of our life, whether the Bible says good or bad. And as we look you in the eye, Father, one of the things that we'll give an account face to face to you about is our giving. Do we give generously? Do we give it all? Do we give partial? Father, I pray for generosity. And I pray that you'd show us, Lord, if we gave everything we had, that we'd never miss it, that you'd take care of us. The Church of Macedonia, Paul said, first they gave themselves to you. Tonight, today, Father, during this invitation, if anybody has never given their heart to you, I pray today would be the day, Lord, that they would give their heart to you, to ask you into their life as their Savior. Father, there are so many decisions that we could make today. I pray, Lord, that some would start asking, "Lord, how much do you want me to give? God, what do you want me to do? Maybe you're calling me into full-time ministry. Lord, maybe you're just calling somebody to rededicate their life, to join our church, to be baptized. I don't know, but I know that you will share that with their heart. And God, if you do that, help them to respond to you in a positive way. Say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. God, during this invitation, I pray that you'd speak to us, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand, and it is an invitation. I invite you to make a decision for Jesus, and I'll be standing up front, and I sure would love to pray with you and pray through this decision that you need to make. So let's stand, and we'll sing.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me.
Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling a sinner. Should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.
Well, God is good. Yeah, amen. Leah will be up here. Remember the social distancing if you come up and encourage her. But thank you, Leah, for speaking to us. Father Almighty, I pray your blessings now on each one as they leave. I pray for the rest of the day, Lord, that we would enjoy the presence of God. Lord, that you would give us a joyous day. Lord, as we go to bed tonight, that we just know we've been in the presence of God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.